Oftentimes we talk about spiritual warfare, and spiritual warfare, normally we think of our battle against Satan, and that's true. However, there is a warfare that goes on continuously. And there are two things that come out of that warfare. If one side wins, the person has a lot of works that come out of their life. If the other side wins, there's a lot of fruit out of that life. Galatians 5, we're in the Fruit of the Spirit series here. We just got started last week. And we find here the battle going on that Satan, of course, often has a part of, but sometimes he doesn't have any part of. We're just simply in his world, and the world is enticing us, and just without even the world enticing us, our flesh continues to battle the reality that we are a new creation in Christ. Our spirit is regenerated. We're born from above as a result of our spirit being righteous and holy, as Ephesians 4 says, now the mighty Holy Spirit of God indwells us. And though, as Romans 6 says, because of the glory of that reality, sin does not have to have dominion over us, the flesh still, that is part of our very being, is going to battle against the spirit. And this battle really resides in our will as to who are we going to allow to be in charge, our own self in charge, or are we going to allow the person, the self of the Holy Spirit to be in charge. And last week we went through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, who he is, and the glory of the fact that we are indwelt by the very third person of the Godhead. And if you look with me at Galatians chapter 5, you look at verse 16, a glorious verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, allow yourself to be controlled by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, every time you read that verse, it is appropriate to shout when you read that verse. I mean, that is great news. If you walk in the Spirit, you do not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there's that battle, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, all right, works. You see, whatever we work is always sin. Every bit of the energy of the flesh falls short of God's perfection. And so self-dependence, self-effort, all the way to the awful sins of the flesh, every bit of that is sin. Remember, the plowing of the righteous is sin. I mean, the plowing of the wicked is sin, excuse me. Righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We cannot measure up. And so works always equal that which does not please God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what our focus is on. Now, I want to remind all of us that your flesh never gets better. It's how much you are, your will, mind, and emotions are under the control and have been transformed by the grace of God. But our sin principle is always a sin principle. And don't be shocked sometimes by people where you've seen them really have the blessing of God when they end up doing things that just really grieve you. The flesh is the flesh. And let me say, and I need to give this warning all the time, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Every person here has the awful capacity of the works of the flesh. And it is something that we need to be very sober about in our life. And so Satan is going to do everything he can. That's why do we allow the flesh to get fed through entertainment when we know that that is Satan's tool to take the world system and all of the aspects of life in this world and entice our flesh to do the very things that are contrary to the law of God. And yet we willfully do it many times. So works will come out of losing the battle to being fully yielded to the Spirit of God in our life. But when we are humbly, honestly, genuinely dependent upon the Spirit, as best we know how, allowing Him to control, He wins the battle. You walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sin does not have to have dominion. We are identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. We can live in the newness of life. We have part of His resurrection. We are part of that. It's a glorious victory we have. We are more than overcomers, more than victors in Christ. So these things really are encouraging. And we need to realize that, as we mentioned last week, when the Holy Spirit is in control, He wants to bless us. That's a wonderful thing. But the Spirit is in control, according to Acts 1:8, for the full purpose of accomplishing God's will on this earth through us. And I want us to see the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit as a revelation of the attributes of Jesus Christ. The third person of the Trinity, Jesus said, would come, and He would manifest the Father and the Son in us. And so what we're talking about here is God doing what man cannot do through regenerated man. In other words, the effort of man only produces works that really fall far short of God's righteous standard. But when the person of the Holy Spirit enables us and we cooperate with Him and we're yielded to Him, He will cause there to be fruit through our life that will cause people to see the very person of God, to see the precious reality of Jesus Christ. Now, look at the fruit of the Spirit here. We're very familiar with this. Jesus is love. He is the fullness of joy. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one when smitten did not speak. He is the one that is gentle, the good shepherd. He's the one that is good. He is the one that had total faith and submission to the Father, meek, the essence of the Spirit of Jesus, and temperance, complete and full self-control. And so, folks, what the world desperately needs to see and experience is Jesus. And this is how He does it, right here, this whole crowd. It is an amazing thing when the Holy Spirit gets control of our life and the Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus is seen everywhere. Christianity should not be cowed by paganism. Paganism is dark. Paganism doesn't meet the needs of people. You go to any culture, paganism, there's despair. And when God's people, overcome by the grace of God, fear, and overcome the world system, and begin to show forth the fruit of the Spirit, the light shines, and the glory of the Savior is seen, and that is where movements of Christianity occur, when the fruit of the Spirit becomes reality. So I'm going to keep saying this every time I don't want us just to get caught in some of these qualities without seeing the big picture. We're talking about showing forth our Savior. Let me take just a few minutes here and we'll get into this first one, which really in many ways wraps up all of the different attributes together, and that is the fruit of the Spirit is love. The love mentioned here and throughout most of the New Testament is from the word agape, or agapao, or be the verb or noun aspect of it. And this word is distinctly coined by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament to portray that which is just not what man normally does. In fact, it is beyond the normal aspects of love. You've got four major words for love. One's not in the New Testament. That's the one that speaks of physical love and passion. Then you've got one that speaks of family affection, and the idea of being kindly affectionate. And then you have the one that we're all familiar with, and that's phileo. It's a very high level of human love. But the one thing about it is it has a response aspect inherent in it. In other words, the love that's given brings out the love of someone else. The natural love of a wife and a husband, parents for children. And it has a very, it is used in a very high and noble sense. Agape was a very philosophical word. And it has the idea of having the desire to meet the need of someone, not based upon affection necessarily. Though that can be there, that's not the main force of that word. It comes from the mind. It is a matter of the will. It is not simply an emotion that rises in our heart. It is a deliberate decision to seek the highest good for others, no matter who they are. And this means that there has to be a deliberate conquering of the will and mind. What's the greatest illustration of all? We love him because he first loved us. That's an astounding thought. How could he love us? I can't answer that. All I can say is God's perfect. And out of his perfect love, he chose to love a very unlovely race. Just take yourself and really be honest with yourself and think, did you cause God to love you? Think of your sinful state before you were saved. No, that was a decision, a deliberate choice of the will in which God put your highest good above his own even. And that's, I have to say that carefully. It's a difficult concept. But he made a deliberate decision of the will. No selfishness is involved in that at all. And it's just a phenomenal thing to think of God creating the earth and all that happened, knowing that Jesus, God himself, would have to come and go through what he went through here and die for us and bear in his holy self our sinfulness. These are concepts that are just beyond our human ability to grab a hold of. Now, that's the love that we're talking about here. This is actually very, very encouraging, because just the simple challenge to go out and recruit. Fear can get a hold of people, or, you know, we're trying to get people, we're trying to care about people we don't even know. We're trying to, we're giving of ourselves to people we've never been acquainted with. And sometimes people that mock us and maybe make fun of us while we are trying to reach them. So there is not the natural human affection. Sometimes there can be pity, and sometimes there ought to be a sense of concern for people. But the fruit of the Spirit, when God is working, God overcomes our selfish perspective, our need for emotion to be there to motivate us. It overcomes all of that, and even in the most unlovely situation, God will give us his heart to love unconditionally, because the need is there and God has given us the power to meet that need. This is very hard to articulate because it is so beyond us. If you study John chapter 15, you will see there about abiding in Christ, the very first application of that is abiding his love and his love abiding in us. So when we're in union with Christ, which is another way to say being filled with the Spirit, and another way to say we are walking in the Spirit and therefore have the fruit of the Spirit, we will have, and I want you to get this, because God indwells us, And because we're in union with him at the throne because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a nice love that's sort of above the normal human love. We're talking about the love that brought Jesus to the cross. Now, let me say that again. We're talking about the Holy Spirit producing in you and me his very love that brought him to the cross and kept him on the cross. Folks, I want to ask you to meditate on that. Because that means then that any challenge you're given about sacrificial service, about loving a spouse, loving children that have hurt you, loving parents that have hurt you, caring about people you don't know, all of a sudden, when you realize we're not talking about trying to work up, remember the word work, work up a high-level noble love, that's not possible. We're talking about letting God produce in us the very love that Christ had that caused him to die for us. That's why when you read of certain people sacrificing their lives to reach folks in dark places in the world, you think, how can they live in those conditions? How can they go through what they go through? They can't, but Christ can. And when they're yielded to Christ, they have a different heart. I've experienced it, I'm sure many of you experienced it, where you're in a situation, it's not a very lovely situation. You're trying to reach people, the situation is hard, you're almost reacting to it, you'd like to get out of it, but you ask God for his grace, you look to him because he's put you in that situation, and all of a sudden, your whole heart changes. You see them through different eyes. In fact, you get to the point where you'd be willing to give yourself for them. That's not you. You see, that's why when you go soul winning, you may be sort of struggling spiritually. You go out soul winning, you start giving the gospel, and all of a sudden the message becomes real, and you begin to look at these people, and you begin to get desperate that they get a hold of it, and you really care about them, and then the Spirit of God's power comes, and these dear people get saved that you really almost were reacting to. They get saved, and they're thrilled at their salvation. I can tell you, you walk away from there, and you're a different person. You walk away from there, you're thinking like God. You know what? A husband that walks away from a soul-winning endeavor who hasn't really been treating his wife like he ought to, and God has broken through and causes him to love that unlovely sinner, if he maintains that look to the Lord, he's going to view his wife differently when he gets home. Because at least for a moment, unless he lets bitterness come in, he's going to have Christ's love, and things ought to be different, you see. See, every husband here is told to love your wife as Christ loves the church. You say, how can that be? You can. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Unconditional, all-out, sacrificial love. The issue is not your wife. The issue is not your husband. The issue is, does the Spirit of God have control of you or not? And that's why every situation in life becomes possible, because of the reality of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, our time is gone. We just got into this. This is one we'll sit on for a little bit of time. The matter of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me just end with, you know, John 15 talks about what the Spirit of God will do. You know what John 17, he's praying that his disciples would have the love that the Father has. And that's what his prayer is for us.